From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been studying the life of Abraham, the friend of God. As he nears the conclusion of these studies, Dr. Cairns comes to Genesis chapter 24, the account of Abraham commanding his servant to find a wife for Isaac. Although the example of this faithful servant is well worth studying, Dr. Cairns is focusing on Abraham's solemn charge to the man, fully recognizing that Isaac was the promised son through whom God ultimately would bring Christ into the world. Abraham acted in the light of an unwavering sight of the Savior. Here is the key to how all of God's people need to consider the decisions and challenges of life. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, Truths to Live By. First, here's a devotional thought from Faith Checkbook, a collection from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Grace for the Humble. The text is James 4 and verse 6, He giveth grace unto the humble. Humble hearts seek grace, and therefore they get it. Humble hearts yield to the sweet influences of grace, and so it is bestowed on them more and more largely. Humble hearts lie in the valleys where streams of grace are flowing, and hence they drink of them. Humble hearts are grateful for grace, and give the Lord the glory of it, and hence it is consistent with His honor to give it to them. Come, my friend, take a lowly place. Be little in thine own esteem, that the Lord may make much of thee. Perhaps the sigh breaks out, I fear I am not humble. It may be that this is the language of true humility. Some are proud of being humble, and this is one of the very worst sorts of pride. We are needy, helpless, undeserving, hell-deserving creatures, and if we are not humble, we ought to be. Let us humble ourselves because of our sins against humility, and then the Lord will give us to taste of His favor. It is grace which makes us humble, and grace which finds in this humility an opportunity for pouring in more grace. Let us go down, that we may rise. Let us be poor in spirit, that God may make us rich. Let us be humble, that we may not need to be humbled, but may be exalted by the grace of God.
Lord,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to tell you that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a special feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did the Sabbath change to the first day? How do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Is the emerging church dangerous? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
A beautiful thing it is to see this steward in prayer. It appears he had spent so long with Abraham. If this is Eliezer, as most people think it probably was, though by this time he would be of fairly advanced years. But if this was Eliezer, of whom Abraham spoke to the Lord some many years before, then he had been born a heathen. But now we find him praying to the living God. How did he come to know about the Lord? He came to know about the Lord from the man he worked for. He saw this man accumulate great wealth and build what we would call a business empire, and yet it didn't affect him. He was not a money-grubbing, time-serving creature who would crush anybody who got in his way for an extra dollar of profit. He saw in Abraham a man who walked with God, a man who talked with God, a man who lived in the very presence of his God. And he was led to know that God through the testimony of his master. We see him in prayer. We see the providence of God leading the way, and unerringly leading the steward, not just to any woman, but to Rebecca. And what a beautiful passage it is when Rebecca's family say to her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" She said, "I will go." That scene, you know, is reenacted every time a sinner is converted to Christ. A preacher may put the question to a sinner, "Wilt thou go to Christ?" The Lord must go before us, prepare the heart, create the response. And what a beautiful thing it is when the Rebeccas of this world say, "I will go." But all that really belongs to the story of Isaac. And however tempting it is, I can't get into it tonight. Because we must focus on Abraham. The passage we have read is a very important and instructive part of Abraham's story. Here we encounter him as an old man, though he has longer to live than at this point in time he thinks. But an old man, a richly blessed man, and yet a sad and lonely man. But he has no time to mope. He has important affairs to settle. Most of all, he has to think of his parental responsibilities. How Abraham acts, how he decides at this time, will have lasting results. Not only in his own lifetime, but throughout the lifetime of Isaac. And indeed it will cast a shadow throughout the entire history of his people. So Abraham acts in this case as he has done consistently through his life as a believer. He acts by faith. And that's what makes Abraham such a great instructor for you and me. You see, we all have the burden of making hard decisions. If you're one of those blithe spirits that has never yet been put into the crucible of testing, well, you've never really yet had to make a truly difficult decision, well, let me tell you, enjoy your youth, because all that's going to change before very much longer. We all have the burden of making hard decisions. The responsibility of putting our faith into practice. And nowhere is that more essential than in the home and in the family. So tonight I want us to look at what we have read in God's Word and think of Abraham as he sought a bride for Isaac. And we'll discover something. That Abraham acted according to four fundamental spiritual principles or gospel truths. What I call truths to live by. The very first thing that strikes me as I read this passage in verses 2 and 3 is that Abraham acted in the light of an unwavering vision of Christ. Read carefully in verses 2 and 3. Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth." If you read some learned writers on Genesis, they will tell you this was a very ancient form of oath-taking. Utter, absolute nonsense. This is a form of taking an oath that is found in only two places in the Scriptures, both in the book of Genesis here and in chapter 47 and verse 29. This form of oath-taking is not found in any other ancient culture. And it is not found in any modern culture. There have been other forms of taking oaths that people have tried to link to this. But they truly are essentially very different. This is something that is unique to the Word of God. Now, in our society, with all its corruption and all its perversion, I would have to say that this sounds very strange. Not only strange, but this to us would be very, very immodest. Obviously not to Abraham or to Jacob, as he later administered the same oath to Joseph. When it says, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh," the word thigh simply means loins. Now, in Scripture terminology, Abraham's descendants, to use the words of Scripture in Genesis 46, Abraham's descendants were the souls that came out of his loins. That's how the Bible described the children of Abraham, or indeed of any other father. And thus, when Abraham said to his servant, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my loins," he took a form of oath which had reference to his seed. It had reference to his children. It had reference to the chosen people that God had promised him through Isaac. But more than that, Abraham knew very well, in fact, this is the very center of the whole story of Abraham. If you miss this in the life of Abraham, you've missed it all. It's only meaningless historical junk if you miss this. When God spoke to Abraham about his seed, he spoke to him about Christ. And Abraham knew that he was speaking to him about Christ. The Lord Jesus himself indeed tells us, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he did see it. And he was glad. So when Abraham administered this particular form of oath, he did so looking forward to the seed that was yet to be born. He did so, he took his oath, looking forward to Christ. And that's why, in this case, Abraham made such a good decision. He did what he did in light of Christ. What he did because he had a clear view of the Savior. What he did because his sight of Christ demanded that this is what he should do. His understanding of the gospel led him to do this. What he was doing was not in defiance of the gospel. What he was doing was not despite the gospel. What he was doing was not even done without any particular thought to the gospel. It was all the natural, inevitable result of a clear understanding of the gospel of God in Jesus Christ. The gospel dictated his actions, even in such a thing as finding a bride for Isaac. You know, that's the very first and fundamental truth of Christian living. How often you've heard the words of Hebrews 12 quoted. In some ways, it's a great thing when a text becomes a favorite. In other ways, it's not so good because people know the words and they turn off the meaning. But it says we should run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does that mean? Well, verse 3 tells you, consider him. Consider him. What does that mean? It means have a clear, unwavering, immovable vision of Christ. And I'm not talking about seeing some physical shape or some charismatic delusion appearing before your mind. I'm talking about considering what God has revealed concerning gospel grace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about letting your mind dwell on what God has given you and done for you and promised to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you consider him, act accordingly. Oh, that, you know, makes life a lot simpler than it otherwise would be. A Christian is called to live a life of action, but he's called to live a life that is basically a reaction. We are not to react merely to the stimuli of life and society. We are called to live in reaction to the cross work of Jesus Christ. What we see in Christ is to dictate how we live in this world. We are to come to our conclusions as to what is right, what is wrong, how we are to live, what we are to say, because of what we believe concerning Jesus Christ. If what you are doing, if what you are saying, if the things in which you are engaged betray the gospel, they are wrong. If you have to put your faith on the shelf for a moment to pursue the things that are near and dear to you, they are wrong. Take this matter that's before us in Genesis 24. Of pursuing a partner in life. Through my own personal experience, I have known many people, sincere Christians. But when it comes to this thing, they park their faith for a little while, and they start pursuing options for marriage that really are in total contradiction of what they believe. I have seen Christians link up their lives with blatantly ungodly people. And then they wonder in the years to come how they could ever have been so absolutely daft. True in everything in life. If you have to park your faith out of sight to do what you're doing or go where you're going or be involved in whatever it is in which you're involved tonight, then that is wrong. The first fundamental truth of how to live the Christian life is to live it with an unwavering sight of Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.